This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of Tafsir page by page, and inshallah ta'ala today we're on page number 99, which is in Surah An-Nisa, the fifth juz. In the previous episode, we spoke about a number of issues, but the final issue that we mentioned, which is then related also to today's page of Tafsir, is some of the rights that Allah Azza wa Jal gave to women, and especially those women and children that don't have anyone to look after their affairs except those men that have now become their custodians. So for example, the orphan women, the orphan girls and the orphan boys, and those people who are their custodians and their guardians, Allah Azza wa Jal tells them to treat them fairly and tells them to treat them with justice, and that they shouldn't look for their own personal gain, their own personal benefit in terms of the wealth that those orphans may have and some of the possessions that they may have. They shouldn't look at their own personal gain, but rather they should do what is best for those children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verse that we're going to begin with today, which is verse 128, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو إعراضا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا بينهما صلحا والصلح خير وأحضرت الأنفس الشح وإن تحسنوا وتتقوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا. If a wife fears high-handedness or alienation from her husband, neither of them will be blamed if they come to a peaceful settlement, for peace is best. Although human souls are prone to selfishness, if you do good and are mindful of Allah, He is well aware of all that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is speaking about the husband and the wife. And sometimes over time, their relationship that may have begun with love and mercy and a great deal of affection, over time may become strained. And they may reach a position or a stage where instead of treating one another in a good way, they now treat one another in not such a good way. And that doesn't mean necessarily that one is violent towards the other, the one is harming the other. It's just that they're no longer as close to one another as they used to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if that is the situation and they can reach a settlement, they can agree upon something that will allow them to continue in that marriage, then that is something which is good, especially if the wife, for example, needs her husband. She doesn't really have anyone else that she can rely upon or depend upon. She doesn't really have anyone from her male relatives that would look after her or be able to look after her and her affairs. And so it is good if they can reach a settlement. So for example, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a number of wives. One of his wives is the famous mother of the believers, Sauda radiyallahu anha. And Sauda radiyallahu anha, because of the love that she knew the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his wife Aisha radiyallahu anha, and she was older in age, much older in age, she agreed to give up her night for Aisha radiyallahu anha. So essentially she would give her night up to Aisha, so Aisha would have her own night and the night of Sauda radiyallahu anha as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted. This is an example of a settlement from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what Allah azza wa jalla is referring to, not necessarily in this particular example, but something like this. So for example, the husband and the wife agree that they will have certain things, or that they will agree upon certain points with one another that would allow them to continue in that marriage. It is better than them divorcing, splitting their family, and so on. This is obviously not in the case where there is violence involved, where the husband, for example, is being abusive. That's not the meaning here, that then the wife just has to sit there and take it, or she agrees a settlement in the sense that she remains quiet and allows him to continue to oppress her. No, this is not in those types of issues, but in issues where over time they no longer have that same level of love and affection for one another. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying there is no harm in them reconciling, finding a way. And that shows an important principle, especially when it comes to marriage, that often we have to compromise. Every marriage requires compromise, even if there's no problems, and even if you need a level of compromise in order for you to be able to continue within that marriage. In fact, in any type of relationship, compromise is required often. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, to reconcile is good. And we mentioned a couple of episodes ago the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that said that from all of the gatherings that people have, the best of those are those in which reconciliation is proposed and is enacted. And so here Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying something similar, وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, wherever you can reconcile, it is good. That's a general principle in our religion. So when there's a problem in the marriage between husbands and wives, sometimes people are very eager just to dissolve the marriage, very eager just to move on, very eager just to get out of that situation. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, no, first sit down and speak to one another, see what you can do for you to continue, so long as there is no abuse, as we said, no haram being done, nothing that is against the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing major like this. Humans always will disagree, always will have different points of view. That's just the nature of people. وَالصُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ, it is good to be able to reconcile, especially if by dissolving that marriage by through divorce, there will be many issues. They have young children, those children will be affected. Those two people that are married, the husband and wife, are close relatives as well, blood relatives. By them divorcing, they know that the whole family is going to split up, that there's going to be issues in the wider family and so on. If they can reconcile and stay together, no doubt that is something which is good. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it is also not easy. وَحْدِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ شُحْ, because human souls are prone to be selfish. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla praises in many different scenarios the ability to reconcile. Very, very important. But it's also very difficult, because when you reconcile, you must compromise. When you reconcile, you must give up some of your rights. And human nature is that you want everything that belongs to you and often more than what actually belongs to you. Human nature is that you're very stingy and miserly when it comes to your things. Selfish. And you want it all. And you don't necessarily want to give up anything for anyone else, but you want them to give up things for you. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla praises those people who can make sulh, as we said. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is a good deed and a good action because of the way that it requires you to also have self-discipline and fight your desires and the temptations of the dunya. And that is why in the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion saw his grandson, Al-Hasan, who was the son of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhum ajma'een, he said, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ, this son of mine, and he was only a young child at the time. إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّدٌ, this son of mine, meaning this grandson of mine, will be a leader. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause two great groups of Muslims to reconcile because of him. Two major groups of Muslims to reconcile through him. And we know that after the death of Ali radiallahu anh, where there was a dispute between the companions of the Muslims at that time, between Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhuma, and after the death of Ali radiallahu anh, Hassan radiallahu anh becomes the successor of his father. He gave up the khilafah. He gave up the khilafah, the leadership of the Muslims, and he gave it to Muawiyah radiallahu anh in order to bring the Muslim ummah together and to unite them. Even though he's more worthy, he's the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, and everyone knows the love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his grandsons. But despite it being his right, despite his lineage and his closeness and his blood relation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, despite the praise that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to him, he gave it up because he knew that it would bring the ummah together and it would save people's lives and it would stop the spilling of their blood and stop wealth being used in that way and so on. And so he united the Muslim ummah through an act of self-sacrifice. He sacrificed his own position for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this. Imagine the reward of someone who saved so many countless lives, armies, hundreds if not thousands of people who would have been involved in battle had he continued to pursue his claim. And so he gave it up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِن تُحْسِنُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, if you do good and are mindful of Allah, have taqwa, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is well aware of the good that you do. So none of us are in necessarily that position of Al-Hasan radiallahu an, but in many of our cases, all of us have in moments of our lives, situations, scenarios where we are in positions where we're going to have disputes and disagreements, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's between friends, whether it's in families, whatever it may be, to be able to find a reconciled position that everyone agrees upon is something which is good. So long as you don't fall into haram and everyone is happy with that agreement, it is good. And that is something which often we don't think about. The Sharia opens this door for us. So long as you're not doing haram, it opens that door for us. And we mentioned examples of this before in inheritance, for example, even now here when we're speaking about issues of marriage and divorce. We mentioned examples that even though the Sharia says do this, do this, do this, but if everyone agrees, for example, in inheritance, that more than a third can be given in charity, it's allowed because they all agreed. That is a form of reconciliation. Each one is compromising, giving up a right of theirs that belongs to them for the sake of unity, for the sake of reconciliation and peace. And that is something which Allah Azza wa Jal loves and something which pleases Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. In the following verse 129, Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. You will never be able to treat your wives with equal fairness, however much you may desire to do so. But do not ignore one wife altogether, leaving her suspended. If you make amends and remain conscious of Allah, He is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that despite this issue of reconciliation and so on, know that every person must strive to be just and fair. So reconciliation comes in that situation where there's going to be a dispute now and a disagreement. But every person, for their own, in terms of fulfilling their own rights, in terms of their own responsibilities, must do the best to the best of their ability. They must do all that they can in terms of fulfilling those rights and those responsibilities and duties that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed upon them. However, there is a caveat here that is being mentioned in this verse, and that is that it is only in that in which you have control over. As for that which you have no control over, which are the issues of the heart and the affairs of the heart, then Allah Azza wa Jal does not hold you to account for that. وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never be able to treat all of your wives with equal fairness, meaning in terms of the love that you have in your heart. And that is because that is something which no one necessarily has any control over, something which is from the affairs of the heart. And we know, for example, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his wife Aisha radiallahu anha more than his other wives. In fact, he openly said so. In the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu an, when he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, who do you love the most? And he said, Aisha. He said, no, I mean from the men. He said, Abu Bakr radiallahu an. So even amongst friends, amongst your siblings, amongst, you may love one over the other, more than the other. However, that shouldn't translate into oppression in terms of action and in terms of rights and responsibilities. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us to be fair. You have a number of children, you must be fair towards them. You may like or love one more than the other for one reason or another, because we all know, for example, that maybe in amongst the children or our own siblings, one is more dutiful to the parent, one is more kind, more giving, more caring and so on. So naturally a person may be attached to that child over and above others, or because of something that they did or some achievements or whatever, but that shouldn't translate into them being oppressive. And so you be equal, and likewise the one who has more than one wife shouldn't mean that they are oppressive in terms of spending upon them, in terms of the way that he distributes time to them. No, the Prophet ﷺ was fair in those regards. But when it came to issues of the heart, he was fair, as is mentioned in the narration that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh Allah, this is my fairness and justice in what I can control. And as for that which I cannot control, it is for you, meaning my heart, the love that I have for one over the others. However, that shouldn't translate, as we said, into oppression when it comes to action, as Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَ. But do not ignore one above the other, leaving her as if she is suspended. So when it comes to actions, no. And that is the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever favors one wife over another, then he will come on the day of judgment with one cheek drooping more than the other. That's because he was unfair in terms of action. And likewise, when it comes to children, as is in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, when his father gave to him a gift that he didn't give to his other children, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will not be a witness to oppression, because it's unfair. Why did you give one more than the others? They're equal in that regard. You may love him more, but you can't treat him favorably over the others. All of them have rights, and you have to be equal in the rights that you give to them. And if you make amends and remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is most forgiving, most merciful. In verse 130, Allah Azza wa Jalla then goes on to say, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. But if the husband and wife do separate, Allah will provide for each one of his plenty, or for each out of his plenty. He is infinite in his plenty and all wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this also is a circumstance that may occur. So we're told at the beginning of this passage, as we mentioned, to reconcile if we can. We're told that Allah Azza wa Jalla, when it comes to issues of fairness, is referring more to our responsibilities and duties and our actions, as opposed to matters of the heart. But however, sometimes, no doubt, a marriage will dissolve. There will be divorce. The husband and wife cannot continue for one reason or another, or their reconciliation doesn't work for one reason or another. In which case, as we mentioned previously, as Allah Azza wa Jal himself said, each one should remember the favor that they had. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't forget the good that you did for one another. That splitting apart, that divorce, that separation should be on good terms, should be amicable. And it is very unfortunate that now at times, all too often, many times the divorce is something which causes more harm and causes more rancor and causes one or the husband and the wife, especially when the children involved, to play the children off against one another, and the families get involved, and so on and so forth. We mentioned previously the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it is from good practice for the husband, even after he's divorced his wife, to give to her some money, give to her a gift to help her, to show that there's no hard feelings in that regard. Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that this marriage wouldn't continue. They have valid reasons. There was no oppression or violence or abuse involved. It just happened that sometimes these things don't work out, as happens in other relationships as well. So you should all go your own way, but do so in a good way. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that if you do it in the way that is proper, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِ. Allah will provide for each one. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless each one with his immense bounty and his immense favor and grace, subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah Azza wa Jal is wasi'. He is the one who controls everything. His bounty, his favor, his grace is wide and plenty, and he is all wise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 131, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. We have commanded those who are given the scripture before you, and we command you to be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, even if you do ignore him. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. Even if you disbelieve, then everything in the heavens and earth belongs to him, and he is self-sufficient, worthy of all praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a number of verses will mention this same issue, and that is that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. All dominion belongs to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is the kingdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the core commandments that he gave not only to us, this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that he gave to every single nation, all of the prophets of Allah, all of their nations, was that they should be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is mentioned here because, as we said before, previously, that when it comes to many of these issues in which there are rights involved of others, in which there is going to be disputes, in which people are going to want their rights and they're going to be selfish with their rights, often it leads to injustice and oppression. It leads to people being unfair. It leads to someone, and usually the person who's weakest, who doesn't have anyone really fighting for them or on their side, or doesn't have much claim, doesn't have much ability to take even that which belongs to them and is their right, those are the people that often lose out the most. But if a person is mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, knows that they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be held to account, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says that those people will do what is right and what is fair. You know that Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the reality of the situation. Just because that person doesn't have proof or doesn't have the ability to take it or doesn't have someone fighting their cause or supporting them, doesn't mean that they don't have those rights. If you know the right belongs to them, then it is their right that is due to them and that you should hand over to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that every single nation was told to be mindful of Allah, because the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal is the basis of all good. People, if every single Muslim was constantly mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal, every time they're going to do a deal, every time they're going to enter into a relationship, every time they're in a situation in which there's disagreement or they become angry or something happens, if they were to remember Allah, be mindful of Allah, be conscious of Allah, His reward, His punishment, His accounting, Yawm al-Qiyamah, death, all of those things, then how amazing would our relationships be? How many of these problems would we be able to overcome? And how much of the whisperings of shaitan and the temptations of the dunya would we be able to resist? Because we have a greater purpose and we have a greater reminder before us. And that is the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why every nation was commanded to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla and to be mindful of Him. And that is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to repeat often. And it is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla often says in the Quran. How many verses say or begin with, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe, fear Allah. O you who believe, be mindful and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the believer should always be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the best of their ability. And if they did, that would mean that they would uphold the commands of Allah. They would uphold the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. They would look in that situation as to what is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What in this situation will hold or give to me the greatest reward? And that is something difficult to do, because many of us are not so mindful and conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to reach, in order to reach that level of consciousness, a person needs to constantly be engaged in seeking knowledge, in ibadah, in dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the more that you're mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal in times of ease, the easier it becomes in times of difficulty and in those types of situations in which there is animosity, to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Allah Azza wa Jal says, but if you disbelieve, you turn away, you reject, then to Allah belongs everything in the heavens and earth. Allah does not need us, and Allah has no need for our patience or our worship or our taqwa. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is giving us His favors by rewarding us for these actions. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. For Allah Azza wa Jal is ghani, all rich, self-sufficient, doesn't need anyone. And He is full of praise, meaning that He doesn't even need your praise. Allah doesn't need us to worship Him. Allah doesn't need us to thank Him. Allah doesn't need us to show gratitude towards Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. And He is self-sufficient, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who benefits from these acts of worship? Me and you. We are the ones who benefit. In verse 132, Allah Azza wa Jalla then repeats this again and He says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Yes, indeed, everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, and He is enough for those who trust in Him. So when you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that everything in the heavens and earth is controlled by Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore when you fulfill the rights of others, or you sacrifice some of your rights in compromise, or you do that which Allah commanded, even if it means, or you think that you may be losing out some, that's what your heart is telling you, or what your mind or the whisperings of shaitan are telling you, you know that Allah controls everything. And if Allah wanted to replace this with something 100 times better, He can do so. And so you have that iman in Allah Azza wa Jal and that belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 133, Allah Azza wa Jal then says, إِيَّشَأْ يُذْهِبَكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ قَدِيرًا. If He so willed, He could remove you all together and replace you with new people. He has full power to do so. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is self-sufficient, doesn't need your praise. He could get rid of you and it wouldn't make a difference. Because sometimes we think that we are doing a favor for Allah by following the Sharia, by being good Muslims, by sticking to the halal and the haram, by worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, by having iman in Allah Azza wa Jal, by calling ourselves Muslims. Allah is telling us He has no need of anything from us. We are the ones who are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is al-ghani, we are the fuqara. Allah is rich, self-sufficient, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones who are poor and impoverished and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying that He could remove all of us and it wouldn't make a difference. As the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the hadith, that if you were a people who never sinned, Allah would remove you and bring a group of people who did sin, a creation that did sin, so that it could turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal seeking forgiveness and Allah could forgive. Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show His kindness and generosity upon us by accepting our good deeds, by rewarding us, by forgiving us. But Allah has no need of that. And Allah does not benefit in any way from our worship or our gratitude or our praise of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Azza wa Jal then says in verse 134, in the final verse that we'll take in today's episode. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. If some want the rewards of this world, then the rewards of this world and the next are both Allah's to give. He hears and sees everything. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who controls everything. Allah doesn't need anything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has and controls everything. And so He can give to us from the benefits of the dunya and the benefits of the akhirah, the bounties of both worlds. And Allah Azza wa Jal does that for the believers. Those people who sacrifice and submit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give to them. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that if you just want the reward of this life, meaning from the benefits and the blessings of this dunya, remember that Allah not only has these, but the greater blessings of the akhirah. So why wouldn't you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submit yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal and to His commands and to His sharia? May ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He gives us that ability to do so. And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.